0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on a big midweek across the Scottish Premiership. There was late drama almost everywhere, with Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain scoring late to win it for Celtic against Livingston. Around the same time as the full-time whistle went in that one, Rangers dropped points with Stephen Welsh equalising for Motherwell. There were great wins for Kilmarnock and Dundee, and of course this all came on the back of Hearts' dramatic Edinburgh derby victory the night before. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening, you have Cammy Bell and Gordon Deal.
Yeah, as you quite rightly say, Gordon, exciting two nights, Tuesday and Wednesday. Obviously starts off at Tynecastle, late winner. We got to Celtic Park last night. Big Marv thinking he'd his first points on the board at Celtic Park would have been great. And up steps Chamberlain, what a finish. And then at Fir Park, Motherwell, the place I went up to last night, wrapped up, was really looking forward to it. I was in my bed watching the game and Stephen Welsh scored.
You left before the goal.
I was in my bed with my blanket on. And Stephen Welsh scored the goal.
I saw a picture of you on Instagram.
Yeah, I was
to prove that you were at the game, which I was impressed with. I did not realise you left before the goal.
Honestly tell you, right? I was in my bed with my blanket on when Stephen Welsh scored.
Actually, for those on the live stream, there is the picture of Gordon Dalziel at Fir Park to prove that he was there. I've got one critical question that's been bothering me about this since I saw it on Instagram last night. Yeah. A wee bit of advice. See, when someone takes a picture, why don't you look at the camera?
I'm looking at the camera.
Are you sure?
How?
It looks to me like you're sort of, I don't know,
looking beyond it.
I just kind of like looking up into there. He's with that kind of crazed look in your eyes.
No, I was kidding on that.
Oh, was it meant to be candid?
No, I was kidding on, I wasn't getting a picture.
That's what I mean.
So I was sort of, I was playing cool. But listen,
that's awful.
You know who took that picture? My mate Marco. I'm sitting there and look right in Motherwell end, Davy Cooper stand.
And you left before Redwood, doesn't it?
Yeah, I did.
Anyway, Cammy, it was a big midweek. It had to be with the way the fixtures were, who was playing who, the stage we're at in the season, etc. It was, it had to be big, and it proved to be that way.
Yeah, it was massive, and it started off obviously on Tuesday night with that dramatic goal from Hearts to get the massive 3 points for them on the board in the derby. And then last night certainly didn't disappoint, with the result certainly at Motherwell. Wasn't a surprise. I kind of looked at it, probably would have been a draw, but again, Motherwell were so impressive throughout the game. Kilmarnock, for me, my ex-team, a huge result for them at home against St Mirren. And then that late goal at Celtic Park was huge. Obviously, their debut player coming on and scoring that goal as well.
0141 951 1025. That is the number you need. Let's hear from you right now. There is so much to get through. If Gordon was at Fir Park as an eyewitness last night, you could start there, of course. Motherwell fans, I take it you feel the draw was the least you deserved, down to 10 men as well. Rangers fans, what did you take away from last night? How big a blow is that to your title chances? You had obviously been in quite good form. Saw some chat on social media, maybe frustrated at team selection and substitutions, and obviously Motherwell had a lot of the ball and created a bit more of attacking intent. So what did you all take away from the game at Fir Park last night? As for the game at Celtic Park, some things are just almost guaranteed to happen. When the script writers sat down for this season in Scottish football, it was just one hit after another. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, a bit of a stardust signing. You're not quite sure what you're going to get because of the lack of game time, etc. And he comes on for his debut, sticks one in the far corner and wins the game for Celtic. So how big a night do you think it was, or the last two nights, how big do you think they will turn out to be over the course of this title race? Kilmarnock fans, as Cammy alluded to, big win there. Livy still down at the bottom, but put up a good showing at Celtic Park last night as well. So there is loads to get through. 0141 951 1025. And to set the tone, to whet your appetite, one of you needs to be Roger Hanna, one of you needs to be Andy Halliday. I don't know how that makes you feel.
Well,
but on a Monday,
you need to go Roger.
You need to go Roger. You're good, pal.
No, I'm going baldy. Is that what you thought I said?
Me and Andy are more similar ages.
Okay, I'll accept. I hope Rogers.
On a
listening.
Monday, they have to dish out some awards. We had a full midweek card almost across the two nights. So go for it. What was your result of the midweek?
Okay, I'm going to go first. I'll start Tuesday night.
Okay.
I thought Hearts and Hibs was so important, Gordon, because if you're Celtic Rangers, I think if you're a supporters or even the management team, maybe looking at that game, Hearts missing the spine of their team, Halkett, Devlin and Shanklin, massive players for them. You're thinking they could slip up here. All of a sudden, we've got two games, Motherwell, Livingston, can we pick up 3 points? Boom, that gap is closed. Went right to the wire, didn't play particularly well, but when you're top of the league in that position, it's all about getting the 3 points. I'm giving my result to Hearts. I thought it was brilliant.
I'm going to go Kilmarnock. I mentioned them before. I felt as if it was a massive night for Killy on their battle for survival in the league. It puts them within 3 points of Dundee after Dundee's result last night as well. And it was, again, to get 4 goals at home. I know they conceded 3 and that's been a problem for them all season. But just to get that win, the feel-good factor back around Rugby Park, I've got to give that to Kilmarnock last night.
Goal of the midweek. Yeah, some good choices.
You certainly did, but I went this one. I thought Rangers' goal against Motherwell Raskin was outstanding. It was the best bit of play for 90 plus minutes from them, I've got to say, but it was worth watching. I was right behind the goals. I seen the move, the passing, everything about it. Diamandis ball in. The timing of the run from Raskin was excellent. It killed O'Donnell in the right back position, and he coolly just played it by the goalkeeper. Raskin deserves the goal tonight.
Oxlade-Chamberlain, for me, the importance of the goal, again, on his debut at Celtic Park, and even just the execution of the goal, it was a brilliant, brilliant finish from him. When the ball lands at his feet, he manages just to whip it right in the corner. Celtic had a number of chances last night. They couldn't get the ball in the back of the net, but he managed to do it on his debut, and a brilliant start to him in his Celtic career.
Howler of the midweek.
Easy for me. At the game again, right in front of it. I'm sitting watching it, and I couldn't believe it. If you pay £8 to £10 million for a striker, I'm sorry, in big games, and that was a big game last night, you've got to be scoring that. I think if Rangers score that, they've got the 3 points and they're down the road quite happy. Chermiti, I watched him, first time I've seen him live, Gordon. He's a long, long way to go to be a number one Rangers striker for me.
I'm going to go Jan Danda.
Oh,
sore one, wasn't it?
Not good.
Penalty miss late on in the game against.
Puts it wide.
Yeah, puts it wide. Doesn't even hit the target. Doesn't work the goalkeeper at all. Puts it wide. So a real howler for Dundee because it would have been a vital point to take away from Falkirk.
And finally, to round it off on a more positive note, your top man of the midweek.
Staying at third part, Mercedes Jens. Absolutely. He's a class above.
So you're going a wider, not a on the evening. But
I'm going full season for him. And it was a privilege to go up. And I says to you in there, even watching their warm-up is so interesting, the way they do all the movements and everything, take on to the pitch. Get down to 10 men and they look the team that's get the advantage and get back into it. They brought in guys, Stephen Welsh, who can't get a sniff at Celtic, baffles me. Absolutely brilliant. Stephen O'Donnell right back, everybody thought probably his final year. He's sensational. The full team, the way they play, they weren't at their best last night and they still had the percentage of the game. They were a better team. They deserve something. Celtic have came calling, the school Celtic as well. For what this guy's achieved this season so far has been remarkable.
And your top man?
It's got to be John Jules. Hat-trick for Kilmarnock. So important, as I mentioned before, the win, but especially for him, just to get them goals. He'd been very important in the last few weeks for Killy up the top end of the pitch, and he got his rewards last night by getting the hat-trick, and they got the 3 points.
Right, let's get stuck in. So much to get through from the last two nights. 01419511025. Alan is on the line first. How are you, Alan?
Yeah, I'm good, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you. What jumped out from Fir Park last night then? You're a Rangers fan, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I think I'm just frustrated. I mean, Danny Rowe's been really, really good for us. You know, that's not up for debate at all. But I think what is up for debate was his team selection last night. I just think Chermiti's he's used up all the goodwill that he had the Old Firm game. This guy scored four goals, and he's turned up for one game this season. We've got a brand new guy that's sitting on the bench that is on fire. You know, he's came for You know, the German league, he got two good goals the other night. We've got Majovski sitting on the bench. He's got 12 goals. And we've got two or three other new signings that didn't even get on last night. I don't know. I just don't know what's happening. And again, just the main point really was Chermity. You know, I'm really kind of getting disgruntled in terms of just what he's bringing to the team.
Can't. Well, you gave him howler of the midweek.
Honestly,
to be fair, right, just centre. There is a lot of context. Are you applying the wider context? Because it's not like a horrific miss. Do you know what I mean? You're not going to see that in your YouTube compilation of bad misses, though.
Listen, I'm right behind that, Gordon. And
No, but
I'm not saying it's one across the line that hits it over.
That's
the bar.
What I'm saying.
I'm not saying that, but it's just a striker that's no confidence in front of goals. I totally agree with Alan. I don't want to have a real dig at this guy because I think the big problem is the price tag and everybody judges him with that. I watched his contribution last night. And I've always said that if someone can get like a Shankland that's firing goals in left, right and centre, I think that'll make the difference of who's going to win the league. And you look at Rangers, and I totally agree. For me right now, Chermity would be my third choice striker. He's got everything to be a top striker in the sense of the height about him and he looks a part. Welsh is about 5'11".
Yeah,
right.
A lot smaller.
And dominating him there, he doesn't hold the ball up. He doesn't look a threat. He doesn't score goals. I totally agree with Alan, and I think a lot of Rangers fans will say the same. I thought the manager for the first time, who's been brilliant for Rangers, got a lot of things wrong last night at Fir Park.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the manager has been brilliant since he's came in, so you've got to say that first and foremost. But I think he did get a few things wrong last night. He's made mistakes. He probably knows that himself. He seems quite an honest guy. But going back to Chermity, for me, the big thing's always been since he's came to the club, he doesn't look like a goal scorer. Doesn't look like he's going to give you even 15 goals a season, to be perfectly honest. He's not that type of striker. I think the price tag's playing a big bit of weight on his shoulders and probably on the club and the manager's shoulders with selection, but it shouldn't anymore because, again, Alan's right, he's been given enough opportunities, he's not scoring enough goals for Rangers, and that's what they need in games like that. When you get the opportunity you're mentioning, I totally agree, a top striker puts that in the back of the net and it changes the game. Rangers probably would go on and win that game.
It's where I'll defend them slightly, Cammy, is I watched Rangers last night. I thought Rangers were very average. They got off to a great start. And I thought, oh, they're really going to press Motherwell and put Motherwell under pressure. After they scored the goal, they seemed to drop off again. They didn't create a lot of chances.
No.
Right? And you've got, as a striker, you've got to live off chances. And you've got to live off, you know, decent balls, quality balls coming in. But
you say that, Daz, right? But you're saying they don't create a lot of chances. So the importance of putting the chances away that you actually get,
he should score that.
Is even
I'm watching that, one, that comes, he should score
that's
that.
Not necessary. It's not created as such. I think it's a long ball.
He's got a break.
Bit of a mistake. So if you get the break, you need to take it.
He's got to, Gordon, 100%. It's not a sitter, but he's got to,
Alan,
score that goal.
Were you surprised overall when the I saw a bit of this, you know, when the team was announced, you know, so it's not like revisionism, you know, or hindsight, anything like that. A lot of Rangers fans, I think, were a bit surprised when the team was named. Is that fair?
Absolutely, Gordon. I think, like, I mean, I group chat with some of my pals, and, you know, the one thing that stood out was Chermity starting and Gassama again on the right. I don't know why Rowe's kind of persisting just to, you know, with those two specific players in those positions. Now, like I said, I don't want to keep banging on. I'm not criticising Rowe. He's done, well, I am, but I'm overall, he's done really well. But just like last night, it's just something really kind of stuck in our craw. Do you know what I mean? And I don't even think it's about the price tag anymore with Chermity. He's just a guy that can score goals. He's got four. He's third choice.
How damaging do you think last night was, Alan? Or do we need to be prepared that this is going to, you know, keep happening? Hearts went to Fir Park and didn't win. Celtic went to Fir Park and lost. Like, they're clearly, Motherwell are clearly good. You're not just going to automatically go there and win, but it does come in a midweek where Hearts had won the night before. Around the same time, Stephen Welsh of all people scores to win Celtic the game. Did it feel damaging last night?
I think because there was a lot of goals scored within the last 2 or 3 minutes. And you look at Hearts, you look at Celtic, then you look at us. I think it was just between us and Celtic. That's a 4-point swing. right away, but you can't dwell on that. You need to move on. We need to look to Hearts at the weekend now and just go again. But we need to learn from our mistakes and just, you know, kind of give a right good go at this title challenge.
Okay, let's thank Alan. Some interesting thoughts that I think might well be shared by other Rangers fans. Scott is on the other line. Are you in agreement with that, Scott, or anything else that jumped out?
A couple of wee things, yeah. Previous caller, Alan, I'm pretty much in agreement. 2 points, one about the manager and about a couple of our players, their attitudes. I'm not going to criticise Danny Rowe at all. I think he was way off with selection. I don't understand how he basically put his four new players in for me. I think they really gave more than what they got. The negativity between we go to 10 men, 15 minutes to go, and he puts on for five at the back. I just thought he was very negative, his tactics. That's my first point about Danny Rowe, if he could get back to it. But
what did you make of that? Because there was so much about this game that sort of was kind of flipped in its head to what you're conditioned to here, and hopefully we'll get to it and give Motherwell the credit they deserve. But especially when it goes 10 v 11 and it's Motherwell with the 10 and Rangers with the 11, for the game to look the way it did at that point is just, it's remarkable. Again, it's probably more credit to Motherwell,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Scott's a Rangers fan, he's calling from that perspective.
I agree. I think Rangers manager got that totally wrong. He went with a back three. Motherwell have got one up, so you've got three marking one, Gordon. Your advantage is already away. Motherwell are brave enough at the back. Okay, you can say brave. They're 1-0 down. Mm-hmm. They're nothing really to lose. They go man for man.
Did you hear the explanation from Mercedes Jens, yeah, where he said that the goalkeeper just becomes the other centre half with the ball, and therefore you don't have a numerical disadvantage? Yeah. He said he's been playing as half a centre back this season. So when you go down to 10, he just becomes a full centre back, and you need to be more aggressive. And it's so bold, isn't it?
See, if you're a Rangers fan, you're probably thinking, saying to yourself, yeah, we have to put three centre halves on to mark one player. Yeah. We give the advantage away. And then all of a sudden, Motherwell, and every Rangers fan will admit, Motherwell looked like the team with the advantage. They were that good because they decided, man for man, Rangers are sitting with three at the back, marking one, takes two out the team right away. So your advantage is gone. I was stunned by the Rangers. I'm like everybody else. I think this guy's done a magnificent job. I don't know what he was thinking about last night. I really don't.
What else did you take away from it, Scott? I take it was mostly things that annoyed you.
Again, the starting positions, between where he's putting people in positions. For me, in my opinion, you know, Mikey Moore, for me, is best at the middle of the park. I don't see him as a winger at all. And I don't even think it's probably one of his worst games last night. And I'm a big fan. He's only 18, got a lot to learn. Gassama's attitude really annoys me. If I was the manager of him right now, I wouldn't even play him. If he was as good as what he believes he is, he'd be a superstar. His attitude coming off that park, every time he gets brought off, he looks as if, why me? He never even had a good game either last night. He could have brought him off about 20 minutes before he made that decision. But again, in my opinion, you know, we've got 12 games to go. Right now, we're probably third favourites. And I just, in my opinion, again, if Danny Rowe keeps doing this chop changing, for me, we're not going to win the league. For us, in my opinion, to win the league, pick your best 11 every time. And only if one's injured do you feel maybe after two games somebody needs one change or two changes, but he's making too many changes for me. That's the last two home games. We kind of pick up 3 points. We will not win the league by dropping points in all the away games we're playing. We just won.
Did last two nights change your thoughts on the title race at all? Or do we need to all get ready for lots of these twists and turns, do you think?
Yeah, no, I still think there's a long way to go. I wouldn't write any team off at this moment in time.
So it's not changed your opinion?
No, not at all, not at all.
Which was?
Mm-hmm. Motherwell?
No, listen, I don't know who will win the league, but I genuinely think it will go down to the wire. I'm still going to hang my hat on, and again, Hearts fans won't like me for saying this, but I can't see Hearts winning it. I just think one of the two, Rangers or Celtic, will get a good form. I think the top six is going to play a huge, huge part in who wins this title. But last night, yes, it was disappointing for Rangers. But again, I think the manager will learn a lot from, again, we speak about his tactics, the way they dropped off. Listen, there's hindsight. If Rangers had dropped off, which you sometimes do the last 15, 20 minutes, you're a man advantage. You might just put that. See if that works and you come out with a 1-0 win. Do you know, it's fine, nobody talks about this. So, but I totally understand that Motherwell were very good last night. They were really good. And they're a top team. They're a top team. So yeah, listen, I think it's going to be an unbelievable end to the season. I really do.
Thank you very much to Scott on the line. You want to keep going with the analysis from Fir Park, Motherwell fans? I know exactly what will be happening. You'll be wanting, you'll be shouting at the radio to say that your team's not getting enough credit for last night. So phone us then. Let's do it. 01419511025. And what about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain? More calls when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL is here. He's not been blown over by the shock of actually going to a football match last night, but he did leave early and missed the decisive moment, which is very, very on brand. I'm sure we'll get back to events at Fir Park because it was quite the evening. Let's go to Gus, who's a Celtic fan. Gus, you just knew we'd be talking about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain one way or the other, and it's gone the right way for you.
What makes you think that's a question?
It's a guarantee, Gus.
Well, I've got two points. One's kind of light-hearted. Another one's a bit more serious. Hans Christian Andersen would not have wrote a better fairy tale. Big Ox in the box. And Stephen Wales. Now, the Celtic board owed Stephen Welsh a big drink. Second point. Celtic should have scored a lot more goals. That kind of performance just won't do in the run-up, because they should have scored at least four or five goals to make it. I know they've got the points, but they really need to not concede goals. I know, okay, it's a penalty, but they shouldn't concede goals. They should be scoring more goals against a team like Livingston. Mm. Not decrying Livingston, but...
It's an interesting point, just one man's personal take. I was working at Celtic Park last night. Game finishes and you think, obviously aside from the Oxlade-Chamberlain thing, it felt a bit flat. It felt like Celtic weren't great, and it felt like the second half dragged, and they kind of got out of jail at the end. Then today I was working on some highlights, and you watch it all back in detail and you go, oh, they created so much early on, but it came so early. So once you miss those, then the game kind of changes. So Gus is probably right. It could have been extremely comfortable, and then it wasn't. And then it was credit to Livy and our pal Big Marv. Honestly, what about the script, as Gus says, about Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain?
Yeah, touch on that first. Just incredible the way the game ended, especially for him on his debut. And as I mentioned before, the execution of the finish from the edge of the box, just whipping into that far corner, beyond the Livingston goalkeeper, who had a really good night. He had a number of decent saves and kept Celtic away all night. So yeah, it was just an incredible moment for him, and a big moment for Celtic, because they needed that goal. They needed that goal at that time. And yeah, we see, when you look back and you look at the chances that Celtic created, there was a scramble at one point where I can't remember if it was Maeda at the back post, they ended up having a header and it got blocked and he fell over, and the goalie ends up picking it up after a goalie made a save. So there was a number of opportunities, and when you don't get, as you mentioned, that breakthrough, that goal, that second goal just to kill the game, you're always under that little bit of pressure. And then obviously Livingston get the penalty and it gives them a little lifeline within the game, something to hold on to and try and take a point away, and it's always difficult. But listen, the most important thing at this moment, I know what Gus is saying, that they expect better, there's got to be better between now and the end of the season, but they've got to keep winning, because the pressure's on at the moment. They needed to win last night, because Hearts had obviously got them 3 points on Tuesday night, so it was a must-win game for Celtic. They got the job done.
Yeah, I agree. I think that Celtic fans were going along there last night looking, this could be a comfortable win of 3 or 4, because... No disrespect, Livingston are struggling to win football games since August the 9th. We keep speaking about that. But all credit to Livingston, set up well. You've got to ride your luck a little bit. They did that, you're right. Celtic did create a lot of chances. The game goes to 90 plus, whatever that adds on, Gordon. You've got to keep going. That's twice now. Dundee, they looked like they were out of the cup. They get Rangers in the next round. It's incredible. They looked like they were going to drop 2 points last night. Chamberlain, and what a finish, let me tell you now. Forget about, you know, how do you think he'll do? Well, there's the first reward for him, because his touch for me last night was absolutely brilliant. And people look and go, oh, hold on a minute, he just controlled it. It was the way he set the angle up and gave the goalkeeper absolutely no chance. That tells you he's a top player. He's used to doing that. There's no doubt about that. He is used to doing that. A lot of players would have probably put that under their foot or not even put it at the right angle, and the defender could have blocked it. He killed everybody with that one touch, and he finished it brilliantly. Another valuable points, 3 points for Celtic.
Gus, did you always think, I'm looking for honesty here, because the signing sort of divided people, did you always think it was a good idea for Oxlade-Chamberlain? Did you have your reservations?
Reservations as such. Basically, I thought, well, he's got the experience. He's not costing you anything. It's a no-brainer. But to do what he did is great. The cherry in the cake for Celtic is at the moment is they've got a lot of new signings scoring a goal each. So all we need to do is combine them all together. So you're not just saying, I've got one goal scorer in the Celtic lineup. You've got several goal scorers who've tasted the score, tasted the net now. So I think that's what Celtic have got to go forward with. I'll say a wee bit that they didn't do more, but as the panel says, 3 points is 3 points of anybody's money.
Did you think last night was a potentially decisive night, or the last two nights decisive in terms of where the title ends up?
100%. That's what I'm saying. The board owe that Motherwell player a good drink. He didn't Celtic a turn. That's what I said. It's fairy tales go. Whoever to score from Motherwell, it had to be him.
Thing is, look, Celtic came out of the midweek better off than Rangers did. But Hart's position remains unchanged. It's another match day down where the initial gap on Hart's hasn't been closed. We're still overlooking that, or, you know, is it because, I know they weren't brilliant, but again, they won the derby.
No, listen, I'm not even looking at the performance. The result's an incredible result. When you're late on in the game, it's 0-0, you're at home, you're under pressure to get them 3 points because you're sitting at the top of the tree. They managed to get over the line again, so absolutely brilliant that they're showing real resilience at this moment in time. And again, the question mark is that I still think it's very, very close if Celtic manage to win their game in hand. There's only the 4 point gap, and listen, that can be caught up very, very quickly. This weekend's going to be a decisive weekend again. We're probably going to say that every single weekend between now and the end of the season because it's so close. So yeah, listen, full credit to Hearts because they keep marching on, getting 3 points, but Celtic are hanging on in there. Rangers obviously disappointed dropping points, but it's going to be some run to the finish line.
Let's hear from Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain after that quite remarkable debut last night.
I'd be lying if I said I didn't have a think about that one earlier. They're the moments you dream of, playing at places like this and being able to impact the game, help the team, create moments like that. So yeah, it's a dream start there for me, and more importantly, it helped us get the win. It's amazing. It's been the best part of my season so far anyway, so I'm not complaining. You know, people might see that I am still alive and kicking, so it's good. It's a good day. You know, I hope for many more moments like that. My dad's from an era back in the day where, you know, this club means a lot. You know, when it came up, I didn't doubt it for 1 second. He was straight away telling me, I'll get you in the car now, I'll drive you up there myself. It's an amazing opportunity for me, and it's a great start, but I know there's a lot more to it than just 13 minutes.
Paul is in Livingston. What's your takeaway from last night, Paul?
Hi Gordon, hi guys.
Hello.
A couple of points over the back of last night and one kind of light-hearted one I'll get to in the end, but not the I look at last night and everybody's saying how pivotal last night was, and I absolutely agree. I think with sort of 15 minutes to go in the Celtic game, I don't think I was the only Celtic fan that thought, nah, this is gone, and if you can't beat Livingston at home with the state that they're in this season, you're not going to win the league. You think at that moment of quality from Oxlade-Chamberlain, and then Stephen Welsh does his job for us as well at Fir Park, and it turns it around. And you look ahead to the weekend, you know, and it's a big if because obviously Neil McCann's got Kilmarnock kind of turning over a wee bit, and we've got to go into that park. But I think if we get business done, I think that it could then become a two-horse race, because if you look at it, if Hearts do get the win, they've then got an 8-point lead over Rangers, and I just don't see Hearts dropping 9 points for Rangers to catch them. And even if it's a draw, Rangers are still pretty much left even snookers to win it. So we've got to take care of our business. I think if we had any other manager in, I don't think we would. This is starting to show the hallmarks of the Martin O'Neill team that I grew up watching. where we're just not beat. And you see the reaction to the late goals. It's not just the celebrating. You saw it with the equaliser at the weekend, where Tonetke, who's a player who just seems to be given a wee boost, run straight to the dugout. And with the second goal last night, the whole team run to the dugout, and there is a real collective passionate feeling amongst them that you only have to watch Martin O'Neill on the TV to know that he would instill that in his changing room. And that's fine. And my second point on it is, I don't want Martin O'Neill there come August for the obvious reasons. But I watched TV last night, and the more I watch Motherwell, and I know Motherwell fans like yourself going, "Oh, I hear this," I'm more and more winding round to the idea of maybe JBA coming to Parkhead next season.
Oh, come on. Don't ruin my night early on. Apart from that, we'll just gloss over that part of the end. What did you make of Paul's assessment?
I think we'll be having this conversation to the end of the season now. I think last night, you're going, "Oh, it's so important because Celtic would have dropped points." Even if Celtic had drew 1-1, Rangers are drawn. I just think the most important bit will be when we get to this top six. I think the top six is done. I think Falkirk will be in the top six. I'd be very surprised if they weren't. But the rest of the teams, Hibs, Motherwell, obviously Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, and I do believe Falkirk will make that six up. And when that split comes, Gordon, the pressure on these three teams are going to be under, home and away, and the teams that they're playing against, because nobody wants to go to Fir Park. Nobody's going there and outplaying Motherwell. Nobody really wants to go and take on Falkirk in their own back garden as well. I think Hibs will improve, right? They've got new signings in. I just think it's so exciting. I'm going to tell you, I'm like wee Shug, and I'll probably be listening tonight. I change my mind every time the fixtures are finished. I look and go, right, okay, Hearts aren't going anywhere, right? I've always thought Hearts were going to drop off. All credit to them, brilliant. They have been absolutely brilliant, and they deserve to be right in the fight to the last game. They're not going anywhere. Rangers are in it. Celtic are in it. But Motherwell, Hibs and Falkirk are going to play a big part.
I suppose Celtic signed Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, Cammy, with the hope that he could be something of a difference maker. You know, you accept that he's not played a lot, and you know, he's been training. I'm reliably informed that day one at Celtic training, apparently it was brilliant, and all the other players sort of thought, "Oh, right, you know, he's clearly still got it." Now, whether that translates to playing every game between now and the end of the season, fitness, the body, we all know that. You know, there are no guarantees, but apparently straight from the off, you know, you could see, and that's probably why he came in so quickly, got on, and then kind of carried that on.
Yeah, listen, he's a top class player. He's played at the highest level. Obviously, he's played international wise for England, scored for England. So against
Scotland at Celtic Park, in the same corner of the net, by the way.
Lovely.
A header, though.
But again, it's for me, when Celtic signed him, you're signing a top class player. All you're concerned about is his fitness levels. You're not concerned about his ability. Again, what he has is a top mentality as well, and that's what you need when you go to Celtic and Rangers. He's played for big clubs where you need to win every single game, so he's got that mentality that, again, going out every week to win each game, he'll be able to handle that no problem at all. And it looks as if he's in decent shape. Again, the thing that Celtic will be worried about is just putting him in too much. They don't want him to get an injury, because he will be very, very important for Celtic between now and the end of the season. He's already shown that last night with that late goal. But I really do feel as if he'll have a huge amount to offer Celtic going forward. And again, he could be a game changer for Celtic, bringing him in at that last moment. And again, I just feel when you bring players in that have played at the highest level, and I've had that exposure of pressure, what you get at Celtic and Rangers, I think it's a good sign, because these guys aren't fazed by what they face there. So again, he's walked in the door, he sounds very, very comfortable in the environment as well. So yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him for the rest of the season.
Thank you very much to Paul. Let me tell you about this before we go any further.
Clyde One for Valentine's.
£450,000 to spend on your Valentine's gifts and night out this year. Like, you could make a dent in the weekend with that type of cash.
Oh, well, I could make a dent.
I'm sure you would manage. You'd probably spend £4.50, I would imagine. But anyway, £450,000. Text yes to 61025. The texts are 250 plus your standard network rate. You can enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find all the rules for this network competition there as well. It is over 18s only. Lines close 5 p.m. tomorrow, so be quick. You can also call 03434 269 340, and the calls are charged at a standard rate. It is, like I say, you're running out of time, so tomorrow get involved. Text yes to 61025.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell is in the building alongside Gordon DL, and it's 0141 951 1025 to get in touch as we look back on a huge midweek in the Scottish Premiership. John is in Wishaw. How's it going, John?
Hi, really good, how are you?
Not bad, John. What's on your mind?
You put out the bat signal for Motherwell fans to phone in, so I thought it was either going to be Laurie for Denniston or it'd maybe be me phoning in.
I just knew what would happen, John, and it's not anything even to do with my personal biases. It's just, if Celtic or Rangers drop points, that's where the focus goes. But particularly last night, surely your team deserves part of the conversation here.
100%. Listen, I know a lot of people, a lot of teams, I think, have came to Fir Park, and when they get played off the park, I think they always tend to come out and say how bad their team were. Whether it was St Mirren, it's been Kilmarnock, there's been Livingston, even Hearts. A lot of them have, and don't get me wrong, there has been a lot of plaudits from pundits, but it just seems to be every time a team comes to Fir Park, that's their worst game of the season. It's never, do you know what, Motherwell played you off the park. And I don't want to say played football the right way, because a lot of teams want to play different football, right? But I just love watching it, and I love this manager. I genuinely get a stand named after him or something. He's just so good. He's made me proud of my team again. That's what he's done. He's made me happy to go back to Fir Park, happy watching it, and do you know what? Just loving it while he's here.
Well, I agree with that, because you can tell with the amount of Motherwell supporters are now going to the home games. They're all buying into it. They love it. I was sitting in the David Cooper stand last night, and I was listening to the supporters just enjoying their football, even a frozen night. They were absolutely loving it. I don't think Motherwell were at their best last night, but you just see the way they operate, the way they keep playing. I remember looking right behind the goal, and Stephen Welsh is standing, going to take a by kick, as I call it, and Rangers players are just waiting to pounce, and I thought, he's got to kick that up the park. He plays to the goalkeeper, Rangers fans run in, he puts it over the top of them, Stephen O'Donnell's way down the right-hand side. It was incredible to watch. They're brave, they believe in what they're doing. The brand of football's brilliant. I totally agree with John. They're a delight to watch. And the one thing I did notice about them, as much as everybody says they're good to watch, they're a good footballing side, they work their socks off for a manager.
It was interesting, Cammy, listening to what Gordon and John are saying, because, look, it's natural. As much as Motherwell have had praise, not everyone is going to see them all the time. And teams are only on TV, you know, for certain games. Mm-hmm. It feels like every time they are on TV, that's when more and more people then sit up and take notice. So for those who aren't aware, that isn't Motherwell at top level last night. They actually, they've played better than that. And yet, you know, all the stats are there. What was it? 63% Incredible. Possession. Double the amount of touches in the opposition box that Rangers had. 8 shots more on goal. These stats versus Old Firm teams coming to Fir Park, it's unthinkable. It is like nothing even remotely close to what we've, well, certainly what I've ever seen or what Andy's ever seen, really.
Yeah, listen, it's absolutely incredible the way they play, the intensity they play at, as Dad says, the work rate they put into games. Again, I was speaking to you through there, and I love watching them, and you said you need to go and watch them live. I've not seen them live, so hopefully I can go one time this season, because I just want to see them in the flesh and see the way the players move, obviously from a goalkeeper's perspective as well, playing out from the back and watching the way that Ward handles his silly, the one that you mentioned that he plays over the top with a high press from Rangers to O'Donnell, and then Stephen O'Donnell does fantastic, a little step over and then a ball inside, just brilliant the way they play. But they're all on the same wavelength. They absolutely understand what everyone each of us expected of them and what they're going to do. So they're a fantastic team to watch. And yeah, listen, I think it shows a measure of where Motherwell are at, that they're disappointed that they went down to 10 men and didn't win the game.
See what makes it better for me, Cammy, and I was at Fir Park last night, and the first thing I noticed was Motherwell come in for a lot of praise for their pitch. Their pitch is usually brilliant. Yeah. It is brilliant. But the weather's been dreadful. And I think the Motherwell staff have been saying, look, they get caught out a little bit. The pitch wasn't brilliant, right? they're still playing that brand of football on it.
I mean, John, the points gap, that you look at the table, are you a bit far back to really make a real impression on the top three? Is it going to be more disrupting everybody else's? Because nobody's going to want to play Motherwell after the split, you can't imagine.
No, I mean, I would say I came away last night a wee bit disappointed. I would say that's our title challenge over. I still had an outside feeling we were going to do something. When it comes to the top six, we are going to take points off a lot of teams. As much as we might drop points, but I think we're going to have a major say in it. But do you know what? See if Hearts can go and win it. St Mirren win the League Cup, Motherwell win the Scottish Cup. What a time to be alive. I'll take that all day long.
You know what, Gordon? Sometimes you fall into that default and you're a fan of a smaller team. So we're not getting the credit we deserve. I think Motherwell are getting credit, to be fair, from everywhere. But with that, they almost, I think already they have started setting their own standards a wee bit. It's maybe easy to forget. This is not meant to be kicking the guy that you gave Howler of the week to, but Yusuf Chirmiti's transfer fee will be ballpark double Motherwell's entire football budget for a year.
It's incredible.
Like, and I know that's nothing new, and I know that's just the way Scotland is with the way it's set up, but if you pause to think about that for a minute, just to highlight the job that's been done there on that level of resource.
I get back to it, Gordon, and you can go and ask the Motherwell fans that went week in, week out. There's a lot of players there that Motherwell fans would have loved to have seen getting put out the door, right? Now they're fans' favourites. That's a sign of a good manager coach for me. He has turned them into a winning team and a fantastic team, and what he's done is he's improved every single player in his squad, and you've got to give him all the credit in the world for that. I really do think Motherwell do. The one thing they're getting is not the praise, they're getting plenty of praise. I think the opposition, like Rangers last night, they're giving them plenty of respect as well.
Yeah, I've got to echo that with the way the manager's brought on so many players. Stephen O'Donnell, for example. Again, I've played with Sods at Kilmarnock, a brilliant, brilliant guy. Again, there's questions. Could he get on the plane? Could he get on the plane to the World Cup? Because the way that he's playing at this moment in time is just incredible. He fits into the system well. He's very composed on the ball. And we all know that we've got our issues at the right back position for Scotland as well. So listen, there's...
It'd be good news for us, mate, because we could get his camper van that he's already rented.
he's telling us he's going as a fan. Thank you to John in Wishaw, a Motherwell fan. James is not too far away. He's in East Kilbride with a Celtic hat on, though, James.
Good evening, guys. How are you doing? You okay?
Good. How are you?
Good. I don't think the two Gordons are going to be happy with this one, but hey, this is what we're here for. I felt compelled to phone tonight because I've heard another Celtic fan say they would like the Motherwell manager to be in the Parkhead dugout next season. We don't just know witnessed and went through one of the worst decisions in Celtic's history. A manager who was out of depth, you know, people, again, were bringing up things like no silverware, didn't manage a club that had to win week in, week out. And after three quarters of a season, where a manager who, with all due respect, has done nothing previously anywhere else, they're now wanting him in the door at Celtic Park. Am I actually hearing this right?
I think it's just, by the way, I think all your concerns would obviously be there in an ideal world. Celtic get a manager who's won things and has experience and so on, but is it not just a bit like a player, James? You know, let's say if a player is ripping it up for Motherwell, St Mirren, Kilmarnock, Hibs, Hearts, whatever, if he's one of the best players in the league, he's under your nose, Celtic fans say, oh, we should sign that guy. It's just, you know, that this is a manager that's showing he can do good things in this league on, well, a fraction is an understatement of the budget. So there's an element of putting two and two together, you know, but it's not that surprising. You're acting as if you're amazed to be hearing this.
I genuinely am, like, you know.
But that's the thing. It'll be one of the outstanding managers in the league that Celtic play in. So it's quite easy to see where the thought comes from, even if you don't agree with it.
No. I mean, you could look at this and say Wilfred Nancy had a better CV than Postecoglou, and we're basing this on, you know, three quarters of a season. No, no, my Motherwell are going to finish. No, I admit they're playing well.
But that's it. See, on that, James, to be fair, I don't think MD's basing it on Motherwell's league position. I think they're basing it on the fact that a guy that's come in, completely revolutionised the way they play, improved players who were already there, spotted other good players, transformed everything. I don't think it's getting hung up on, you know, Motherwell are only fourth and we don't know where they'll finish. It's more just about that impact.
But again, this was the same with Nancy. What he done over in the States, you know, took the club he was with at the final, and then it was the final of their version of the Champions League, and turned things around, and he was supposed to be this new and up-and-coming, you know, great coach. There is no way Celtic can go for this guy.
But James, you said there that he was doing it. This guy's doing it in your own back door. He's doing it in Scottish football. He's played 25 games. He's lost three games in 25. He walked into an average squad, right? He's only lost 18 goals. So I know what you're saying about Wilfred Nancy coming for. Nobody had really heard of him. Nobody knew what he was bringing. I think everybody's looking at this manager this season and they know what he's bringing and what he's achieving. So I know what you're saying. Listen, everybody's got their own opinion who you want as a manager, but you're not telling me that the evidence is there. If he goes and gets a Celtic squad with the quality that Celtic can get, with the money that they've got, that he ain't going to turn them into a real good team.
For what it's worth, I hope James is right. I hope I'm not interested. Cammy, hope he stays where he is. And I think you would pull short of saying he will definitely do a good job, but by the same token, I'm very surprised at the level of confidence that he wouldn't. Surely it remains somewhere in the unknown category rather than he definitely wouldn't be good.
No, listen, what he's done at Motherwell is just incredible. Listen, what you need to think about the manager is that he's not been at a club realistically that can win titles, so he's not had that opportunity yet. I think the way that he's handled Motherwell as a club and the way that he's went about his business, he's losing three games after 25 games for Motherwell is just an incredible record. So for me, he's got to be on the radar of Celtic because he's an outstanding young manager, and again, with a bright future ahead, he's got a real identity the way that he plays. But also what we mentioned before is he improves players, and that's what Celtic need, is that they need a manager to come in the door that's going to improve players and obviously win games and win trophies. But he's got to be up there for me.
Yep, thanks to James on the line. It takes us up nicely to time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, Beat the Pundit time. The lines close at 7. If you fancy a crack at Gordon DL or Cammy Bell, don't tell them I said this. I think it's a generous standard for you this Thursday night. So get in touch and we'll see what we can come up with.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL and Cammy Bell are here at 0141 951 1025. Loads to get through. It's been a brilliant midweek. Just so many talking points. Hearts leave it late and win the derby to boost their title credentials. The pressure goes on. Glasgow's big two. It looks like Celtic might slip up. Then Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, of all people, pops up with the winner. Around the same time, Rangers concede against 10-man Motherwell, who continue to get plaudits. There is so much happening, so please do give us a call and we will speak to you hopefully after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Come on then, it is Beat the Pundit time. Gordon DL and Cammy Bell both standing by, both definitely beatable if you ask me.
Yep.
And one of them certainly will be stepping up to take on Brian this evening. How's it going, Brian?
Not bad, Gordon.
Good stuff, Brian. Have you ever played before?
I have, yeah.
Oh, good. Ooh. And?
And Gordon DL's scalp is on my mantelpiece as we speak.
Oh, he's done nice. You before, he's back for more.
Nah, I don't remember you, Brian. Are you from Pollock?
That's one.
Nah, I don't remember you. I've never played them for Pollock, mate.
You've dished out a few sign balls in your time. It's very possible, I would say.
I like to get the boys to win a few.
Oh, you give it. You do it on purpose, do you? Like charity?
Yeah. Why should we always win?
Yeah. Find that. I agree with that.
You know what I mean? These people take the time to phone in. They deserve a present.
You don't care about anybody other than yourself, so the chances of you meaning that, zero.
Yeah, probably.
Exactly right. The blue side of the coin will be Cammy Bell, and the red side will be Gordon DL. Just see on that though, just quickly, when I was just thinking there about slagging you all, and the pundits had to do the old sincere interview with Big Marv last night.
How was he?
Didn't like it. Nah,
did
I didn't like it.
Did he like it?
I didn't ask him.
Did you have a bit of banter before it?
No, it's just awkward. Imagine you got a manager's job, right? Imagine you got a manager's job again,
and then speak to
and then we had to sit and go, Gordon, give us your assessment of that game.
I would refuse to speak to every single. Yeah, I wouldn't. I would love that. I wouldn't speak to you. I'll completely ignore a
but
lot
if Marvin's
of
not going to do it, he'll need to send Davey down from the stands.
Davey could do it in the phone.
Anyway, right, the blue side's for Cammy, red side's for Gordon, and it is blue for Cammy Bell. So he will take on Brian from Pollock. Could we please give Cammy something nice and loud to distract him? Brian, you've beaten Gordon before. The rules are the same. 30 seconds, answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer, okay?
Yeah.
Right, let's go. 30 seconds on the clock, and your time starts now. Who was the last British team Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain played for before Celtic?
Liverpool.
Who left Rangers for FC 20 in July 2024?
Pass.
How many caps has Liam Kelly got for Scotland?
One.
Before yesterday, named the last team to score against Motherwell at Fir Park?
Celtic.
What last name links Scottish footballing brothers Stephen and Gary?
McSwiggin.
Name either Scottish Premiership team with the most league red cards this season.
Hearts.
Okay. Can you hear us, Cammy? Are they tough?
No. I thought there was a couple of wee tricky ones.
Don't give me that.
Oh,
could
mate,
be a few passes here though.
Oh, you, I'm okay. Telling you, you'll be playing for the back tonight. Brian will have it. Brian, I'll drop the ball off for you, mate.
30 seconds on the clock. Okay, your time Brian. Starts now. Who was the last British team Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain played for before Celtic?
Liverpool.
Who left Rangers for FC 20 in July 2024?
Hard one,
isn't it? Centre back pass.
How many caps has Liam Kelly got for Scotland?
Two.
Before yesterday, who was the last team to score against Motherwell at Fir Park?
St Mirren.
What last name links Scottish footballing brothers Stephen and Gary?
Pass.
Name either Scottish Premiership team with the most league red cards this season.
Kilmarnock.
Okay.
You're the shocker.
Brian, what's the verdict?
Well, we passed on one or two the same and gave the same answer. So
no,
one or two.
I'm not too far away.
It wasn't vintage from either of you.
That's fine.
I can confirm that before
hey,
we go through
doing
the
my
answers.
Head and Stephen
wait,
Gary.
Just wait. You will find out in a second. Okay, who was the last British team Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain played for before Celtic? Liverpool. You both got it. Who left Rangers for FC 20 in July 2024?
Was it centre half?
Sam Lammers. Remember him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yep. No. Did Brian get
he that? Did not. It is 1-1. How many caps has Liam Kelly got for Scotland? Brian said one. You said two.
Was it one?
It's one. Yeah. It's that friendly against France. October 2023. So Brian goes.
Night,
Cammy. Oh, steady. Steady, Brian.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I hope you win this now. Brian,
nice,
I'll tell you what. You hang on the line
to do you know the answer to this? Before yesterday, who was the last Scottish team to score against Motherwell at Fir Park?
I thought it was Hearts or Aberdeen.
It was in October, the 18th of October.
Wow.
Motherwell have kept 9 consecutive clean sheets at home until Nicholas Raskin popped up. The last player, and therefore the last team, was Scott Arfield for
was
Falkirk.
It? Wow.
In October.
That's an incredible rest.
Yeah. So none of you got it. I thought this was Brian. I expect better from you both.
Right.
Scottish footballing brothers Stephen and Gary.
I was going to go somewhere like a Connor or something.
Caldwell. Come on.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. That's ages ago.
Actually, what's the relevance?
Was managed by one and I played in the same team as one.
Well, there you go. So
did Brizo get that?
Brizo did not, indeed.
Brizo not.
Name either, which means it really comes down to this. Cammy needs it to equalise. Name either Premiership team with the most league red cards.
Brilliant.
Brian says Hearts, they've got 3.
Nah.
Cammy says Kilmarnock, they've got 4. No team has more than Kilmarnock. Cammy Bell equalises.
Did you just go Kilmarnock?
I knew Kelly had loads of folks
right
off
at the end. So yeah. 4.
Tiebreaker, mate.
Oh, I love it. Aberdeen.
Bye bye, Brian. Bye bye, Brian. Good night.
Aberdeen and Kelly have both.
Come on, Cammy.
4. Okay, tiebreaker time.
Talk this wee Brizo away.
Oh, what a question this is as well.
Come on.
How many caps for Scotland do all current SPFL managers have combined?
What?
So that's all the leagues. How many caps for Scotland do all SPFL managers?
Hurry up, because he'll be Googling it.
Yeah, if you could write down your answer, please. Just guess, obviously. It's just a closest two. Okay, what are you going for, Brian?
267.
Oh, Brian. Okay. Get your jammies on, slippers. See you later.
Are you sure about that?
Aye.
Cammy Bell.
Not a clue.
Cammy Bell says 89. Brian says 267.
The truth is somewhere in the middle.
How quick's your arithmetic?
Go on.
Scott Brown 55, Gary Naismith 46, Stephen Presley 32, Neil McCann 26, Paul Hartley 25, Derek McInnes 2, and Mark Wilson 1. 187. Brian.
Oh, Brian.
Night night, Cammy.
Take you right to the line though, Brian.
Hold on. Did you miss out Gary Naismith?
A wee bit of drama. I done the same with you, Gordon.
Did you take me a tiebreaker?
Aye, aye.
All right, okay, Brian.
There we go.
Right. Well done, Brian.
Well done, Brian.
It was the worst game I've ever heard, but well done. Was that a guess or did you Google? I bet you Googled that, didn't you?
Oh, he didn't do a very good job of Googling it. He was miles away. He was just closer than Cammy.
You're
didn't even Google for that.
Exactly.
Who was your final answer?
Who the managers were?
187.
Aye, I went a wee bit more than that.
I know. I forgot about your Scott Browns, who are obviously
Gary Naismith, maybe the one that catches you out. He's the in-house muir manager. He's got 46 caps.
So there's a bulk right there. Then too.
In my mind.
Okay. Wasn't that much. The caller was 80 odd out. Cammy 98 or so.
So it was very close. Okay.
Anyway, what did you make of last night, Brian? Were you sort of confident Oxlade Chamberlain could produce these moments, or was that a surprise to you last night that he did it so soon?
I don't think anybody could really be confident about it. Just because he's no play for that long, but he's definitely quality. It's just whether he can produce it regularly enough.
And I wonder if Arne Engel's injury, I don't know the extent of it, but clearly didn't look great if you have to come off in that manner. If he is injured for any period of time, it obviously creates a space in midfield. Does that maybe accelerate his involvement?
I don't think he'll accelerate it to Sunday, let me be honest with that. I don't think you're bringing him off the bench with 13 minutes to go and then throwing him right into Kilmarnock down there on that surface. But I think he will start to get more game time. What a way to introduce yourself to your new club. As I said earlier about back of six, people look at that and think, it's a nice goal. It's a fantastic goal. His touch is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Just takes it. He kills defenders. He kills the eyesight of the goalkeeper. And he just puts it in the corner. Great goal. Listen, you don't play for teams like Liverpool and Arsenal if you've not got the ability. He certainly got the ability. The question mark was, can they keep him fit? Can they get a tune out of him? Well, he showed in 13 minutes. He's off and running. Let's see what he's got to bring to the table.
Okay, thank you to Brian. Just something that jumped out at me on Beat the Pundit there when we were talking about Liam Kelly, Scotland, that got in my head. We've actually got breaking news tonight. It's been the saga of the year building up to the World Cup. Harvey Barnes has made his decision and he doesn't want to play for Scotland. He's going to stick with England. Didn't want him anyway, did we?
No,
I find that
baffling. Never liked him anyway.
I find that baffling. Listen, the boy is in form, isn't he? He's scoring goals. I think he'd be a great addition. I know a lot of, I was split, wasn't it? Because keep the guys that got us to World Cup, put all the effort in. He's already knocked his back. But I think you need quality players. He's a quality player. I just don't think he's at the level that he's got to get called up at England. Listen, it's his choice. He's got to miss out in the World Cup. He's got to miss out in the Tartan Army. We don't care.
We never cared, honestly. We're not bothered in a look littler fashion.
I think, though, probably the good thing is that it's came out now. It's not going to drag on. It's not going to continuously. We're going to be talking about it.
It had to ahead of these March friendlies, though, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. But again, if he hadn't come out and spoke about it and said that he isn't going to play for Scotland, even beyond the March friendly, there'll still be that question mark because he's a top player. I'd have loved to have seen him get in the squads, just purely on his talent and what he could bring to Scotland.
Does it surprise you? Sorry,
it does quickly. Not massively surprise
no,
me. I don't think he'll play for England.
No, why? Because
consistently,
it's an opportunity to go to a World Cup.
I know.
See, he's a player. Now, if he doesn't get an England cup, he ain't going to a World Cup.
But see,
right?
To be fair, right, if the whole argument anyways, see if his heart isn't in it, then what is the point? See if he doesn't feel remotely Scottish, doesn't want to, you know, what's the point? Look at Scott McTominay. We know he wasn't born here either. He's got the family link. But he's all in. He's been all in, always there. You know, see if he's not that bothered then. But the way, know, that's just the way it is.
The way I look at it is, if there's a wee English radio station want to take me to the World Cup, all expenses paid, and I have to support England, I've got the scarf and the jersey on. Three lines on the chest.
But you're a mercenary, that's the difference. Thanks again to Brian. Incidentally, if you are keeping an eye on these things, the reason this came out is because Steve Clark spoke at the Nations League draw. Remember the I forgot the Nations League was a thing because we've got World Cup fever. Scotland will face Switzerland, Slovenia and North Macedonia in Group B1. So remember, relegated from League A last time down to League B, Switzerland, Slovenia and North Macedonia. Anyway, that can wait for another day. Let's go back to club football with Ian, who's in the city centre. Hi, Ian.
Hi. Hi, panel. I was just wanting to say that I've seen a lot of moaning and groaning with the Rangers and Celtic fans about when they're dropping points and blah, 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 and the games they should be winning. And but I think this is one may this continue. I mean, what the Motherwell, Falkirk, Hearts, Hibs to a certain extent, a lesser extent, but they've all contributed to a fantastic season, and I think this is the best Scottish football and the most exciting it's been since probably what, the 80s or early 90s. I think this is they can't have it both ways, especially Rangers and Celtic fans. They've been shouting for years for other people to step up and give them a challenge, and then when they get it, it's always like the guy said earlier on, oh, we were bad, we were really poor, and we still won that game. You've got to give Motherwell. I was glad to, don't get me wrong, I was disappointed in losing the late goal, but Rangers could quite easily have got beat, and I would have said that before they even got onto the park. I mean, Motherwell are a brilliant side, they're a fantastic side, and Rangers were lucky to really get out. That point could be valuable at the end of the season. So long may it continue, I say.
Do you know what could be a great just quickly point? Though,
yeah, I know, but I love your big picture thinking, Ian, and it's fine for us, you know, and sitting here as neutrals to say it's, you know, it's great for the league, but as a fan, right, so if Rangers or Celtic finish third, fans aren't going to go, ah, well, at least we had a good challenge this year, at least the league was good. Third for either of those teams, maybe even worse, you never know.
No, but for underdogs, it's brilliant. It's great to see Hearts up there.
Again, that's what I'm saying. That's fine for us. But Ian's saying, you know, fans can't have it both ways. They say they want a challenge, and now they're moaning when they've got one. They feel like
they'll
separate
be gutting.
Things.
They'll that be gutting. Like yeah. There's no doubt. The only thing I will say about Rangers last night is if they go and beat Hearts at the weekend, 4 points out of the two games, I think it's decent. Right, all of a sudden it could be more positive than the negative, because it was always going to be difficult going to Fir Park. We had a caller on Tuesday night. I couldn't believe talking about Rangers had a swagger and they'd easily beat Motherwell, they'd easily beat Hearts, they'd be top of the league.
I'm really disappointed I missed that on Tuesday when I was
Mark,
off.
If you're listening, please phone in and
please,
apologise.
Mark, I'd love to hear.
Yeah, that swagger. I don't know where he got the swagger from, but I just, do you know something, Gordon? You're talking about Scottish football, right? How exciting it is. We're talking about the top six. See, when the split comes, I think the bottom six has got to be exciting as well.
Yeah, but you, Livy, yeah, but you wonder away. If Livy are gone, yeah. Though.
Livy are away, but who's going to finish?
Well,
I agree.
It's so tight.
Who's going to finish 11th?
They're also, not to put it down, I've loved this season, it's been incredible. Also, for the first time, I'm actually quite a fan of the split, because I think it always gives. You know, teams something to, and we've seen scenes at like Motherwell or St Mirren when they make the top six in the last day, you've got something to celebrate. I don't think have we got a race for that? Is it done?
No, it's done. For me, it's absolutely done. Again, what you've got in the split, as Daz said,
so once we get beyond it,
the split is going to be incredible, because I think you look all the way to Dundee United at this moment in time, and I can't see Aberdeen getting dragged into it, but Kilmarnock are only 5 points off of Dundee United. Mm. So when you start to play each other in quick succession as well, it becomes difficult. The top six is just going to be incredible. This weekend, again, if Rangers were, which is a huge ask to go and beat Hearts, because Hearts are a very, very good team, that just brings it in again. There could be a 2-point gap, and if Celtic were to get 3 points at Kilmarnock, which will be a difficult game again, it's so, so tight again.
I think they will be able to look at that as potentially an okay point, you know, a good point, if you can even put it that way. It's a tough place to go. Hearts drew there and were second best for sure. Celtic lost there convincingly. Is it just almost hard for Rangers or Celtic fans to accept that, because you've got the manager saying something similar last night and the Rangers fans didn't like it? It's, you know, I mentioned the budgets earlier. Should you, although Motherwell are good, should you ever accept that, that it's a good point?
It's a good point if they beat Hearts at the weekend. Because if you looked at those two fixtures and you said to Rangers, we'll give you 4 points out of these two games out of six, I think Rangers all of a sudden are in a decent place.
I agree with that quickly. You've got to take this season in isolation as well. Motherwell are an incredible football team and are a very good team. They've only been beaten three times this season. So you're not going to go to Motherwell Stadium and walk all over them. Again, they've been so consistent. So, yeah, listen, they deserve full credit for me.
Okay, thank you to Ian. Derek has thoughts on Danny Rule, which we will hear when we return.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Cammy Bell and Gordon DL are here at 0141 951 1025. So get in touch, let us know what you're thinking after a busy midweek. We've got a big weekend already around the corner as well to look forward to. Bit of international news tonight as well. Harvey Barnes says no to Scotland, essentially. So did you ever want him in the first place, or is that one that stings? Do let us know if you fancy it. And I want to get a question up and running for you two first.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrants drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, big thanks to Dale and Motherwell for sending the full-time teaser in tonight. Oh, he's put you right on the spot. I'm excited about this.
Me?
This
could be a Motherwell question?
This could be...
If it's Motherwell, I'm off.
This could be a decade's worth of bluffing exposed in the next half an hour. Can the big Motherwell fan, Gordon DL...
I love that.
...name nine Motherwell players with over 200 appearances for the club since 97? It is a big thanks to our new sponsor, Arcaplan Glasgow. So nine Motherwell players with over 200 appearances for the club since 97.
Is that the Keith Lasley era?
So hold on, are you actually asking me if there's a possibility that Keith Lasley played before 1997?
Is he on the wind up?
Hold on a minute. Before or after 97?
What is it you're asking?
Up to 97.
Right. Since 1997 till now,
yep.
Can you name nine players that have made over 200 appearances for Motherwell? I know, but why are you asking if he's in that era as if he might have played longer ago than
Keith
that?
Lasley,
how old
then?
Do you think he is?
No, Lasley.
Yes, he is second on the list.
Cregan?
Yeah.
Third on the list.
Hamill.
Stephen Hamill.
Top of the list. 563 appearances.
David Clarkson.
You're doing really well. Leave it there. Not accepting any more answers. That's not bad though. That's four already. Doing well. Hamill, Lasley, Craig and Clarkson.
That's why I'm a true steel man.
The nine.
You've only got one of them.
I rhymed them all off. What are you talking about?
Okay.
Another eight in my pocket.
Big thanks to Arcaplan Glasgow, our new sponsor of the full time teaser as well. Good question from Dale. We'll dip in and out of it between now and the end of the show. Derek is just not too far away from here in Cardonald. What's your point tonight, Derek?
I've just got a great fear, gentlemen. Good evening.
Hello.
The dancing plague of 1458's going to form in Glasgow somewhere because of this mass hysteria about Danny Rule's situation and, you know, the mistakes he's been making. And I think it's being looked at very two-dimensionally, that these guys are thinking way, way further than us. And I've got a feeling, obviously not knowing, that when Danny Rule looked at the final fixtures prior to the break, he looked at what he considered his most difficult games, and I think he would have pointed out Easter Road, because just before that Hearts had lost, losing 3 points, he went to Easter Road, came away with a 0-0 draw. There's a picture of Barami about 3 minutes before the end, not a Rangers player in the box. I thought he's playing for a draw here. Went to Motherwell last night, he put that team out. I thought he's not wanting to lose this game because he knows what's coming for everybody else.
Right, but I mean, you're saying that's okay then? You think the critics of Danny Rule are over the, taking it too far last night?
Yes. And after the Hibs game as well, yes, I understand there are points to play for and everything's a must win. But you'll find most of these managers will say they're not guaranteed those full points. So I think Danny Rule is wide enough that he's looked at it and he's went, if I'm going to lose any games, I'm not prepared to do that. But I'm prepared to... Celtic went to Fir Park, they beat 2-0, lost 3 points. Rangers come away from Fir Park, 1 point. That's a point ahead of Celtic.
So you think, Derek, that Rangers pitched up at Fir Park last night, want a draw, playing for a draw. The manager picked a team to get a draw. Is that what you're saying?
I think he picked a team not to lose, but if you've got players of Rangers quality, you're obviously hoping to score. But 15 minutes to go, an attacking manager, you don't bring on Fernandes.
But Motherwell were down to 10 men as well, Derek, you know.
I understand that, but by that point, they're 1-0 up. He's putting on another defender to shore it up. Because he had the game won at 1-0, and I don't know if it's the Harlem Globetrotters or the Brazil 1970 squad that's now playing at Fir Park, but I think
a combination of the two, I think, for me.
No, well, I was just thinking about, I know I didn't do any SFA badges, but I played enough football to lump the ball forward, big guy get up in the last minute, head it down, and somebody stroke into the net. You know, I don't think that's managerial genius. And I understand I play well and I enjoy watching them doing, but there's certain bits of football that are always going to be bits of football. And that is clever management saying, I will not leave here losing.
Oh, the team before, only clever if you go and win the league, right? Because if you don't, then everybody just says, why did you not get 3 points there, or there?
I think what Derek's trying to say is that the manager went to Motherwell knowing he was going to have a hard game, because listen, Motherwell have had brilliant results this season against all the top sides that have went to Fir Park, so the manager Danny Rowe knew it was going to be a difficult game. They started the game brilliantly with that one goal lead, and then Motherwell were very dominant in the game and played well and had a number of chances. But almost when Motherwell go down to 10 men, it feels like a little bit of a defeat, because you should see it over the line. I understand why Danny Rowe made the changes, because sometimes he might have just thought that we couldn't get a hold of the ball, we couldn't get enough possession. Do we just see the game out and try to see the game out and take a 1-0, which would have been a fantastic result? But again, on the flip side, when you lose that late goal, all the negativity, all the criticism comes towards the manager that he didn't have a go for it. But as I said, it's a fine line for a manager, because if he had came away from that game with a 1-0 and he'd put Fernandes on, then everyone would be saying great, because he's keeping a clean sheet, he's defending his lead. So it's really, really difficult. I don't think Rangers went there for a draw. I think they know they need to go to Motherwell and win games if they want to win
the
title.
The manager said, though, he was maybe kind of stretching exactly what he said, but to the effect of would have taken a draw before the game.
Yeah, but I think that's a measure of where Motherwell are as well. So you need to give them credit that not a lot of teams go to Motherwell and get results. So that's probably where that comment comes from.
Seems the problem, Gordon? It depends whether you view these games in isolation or as a collective, because you can do that. You can say on any given day a draw at Fir Park is okay. On any given day, a draw at Tynecastle is okay, and any given the Easter Road, etc, etc. But if you draw all those places, and I know I'm just being hypothetical,
you
here,
won the league.
Then it's not, it's not,
no,
okay.
You're not winning the league. I think a lot of people will. The only thing I do agree with Derek is he did put Fernandes on to go to an extra man at the back to defend the lead, because he knew Motherwell were a real threat. And I looked at the game and I never thought for 1 minute, especially in the second half, that Rangers were going to add to that league and put the game to bed, I've got to say. So, yeah, I can understand that. 1-0, if he gets out of there with 3 points, he'd be over the moon. I think a lot of Rangers supporters looked at his starting 11 last night against a real good Motherwell side, and I think they would agree he got it wrong. He's brought in players that I thought he should have played last night, without a shadow of doubt. But he thinks that he's got to use his squad. And as I said, if he beats Hearts, 4 points out of six is not a bad week.
This is what Danny Rule had to say on the team that he did pick last night.
This is sometimes in football, you have to pick the team before the game, not after. There were also some things. Ryan had a little bit of problems yesterday after the training. There was too much risk to start straight into. And then you have with, I said this with Tochi and with Tuur and Skov, two players. They, yeah, you have to implement them in the rhythm of the game. And I saw both games today and this on Sunday. I see this a little bit together, and you need the idea for both games. Let's see. Yeah, finally, it's just a draw, and we are disappointed. Yeah, of course, I take this.
Thank you to Derek, who wants fans to lay off Danny Rule and thinks it could be a good point and understands the way he's going about it. Billy is also a Rangers fan. What's your take on it, Billy?
No, I would agree with Gordon. Danny Rule was tweaking the team, worried about the next game. You must get the 3 points in the bag. Our team's not playing the ball quick enough to a forward line. My forwards are getting no touches in the ball. My midfield are getting more touches, and my defence are getting more touches. We're playing too slow. I think Rowles is kind of tweaking everything too much. And see this, Kerry Owen, a draw's all right at Murrayville. He shouldn't be a Rangers manager if he thinks a draw's all right at Murrayville. Clement started the same stuff, tweaking the team, rotating his team all the time. You need to get the 3 points in the bag. You've got 12 games to go. You don't worry about the next game. You won the 3 points that game. Then you go into the next game.
So there's a few competing thoughts here, Cammy, that, you know, might contradict each other, or you can agree with all of them, I suppose, in their own way. Motherwell's a tough place to go. They have been excellent this season.
Yep.
Celtic have gone there and haven't won. Hearts have gone there and haven't won. Barely anybody goes there and wins. So in that regard, it can be seen as a good point. But Billy's talking about that kind of wider thing, that thing about standards, where should a Rangers manager ever say that when
you can
acknowledge that Motherwell are good, but I go back to it. Chermiti's transfer fee is probably about double Motherwell's entire football budget. So how do you find that middle ground where, and this kind of applies to Celtic as well, you're not entitled to win every game. You're just not. But at the same time, the resources and everything that goes along with it, should you be saying it? I don't know. I find it hard to find an exact sweet spot.
No, listen, I agree with Billy. I don't think he should have come out and said that a good point at Motherwell. I think you can word that differently, that Motherwell are a difficult opponent and have been very good this season. We're disappointed because we came here for 3 points. You could say it that way, because it does sound as if you're accepting a point going away from home, which you need 3 points. And I think the big picture is as well that we're closing in towards the end of the season. Rangers really need 3 points every single week. So again, to send that message out, I think you can word it differently by saying, look, we're really disappointed. We came here for 3 points. We've got a point. We need to move on. You don't need to go into depth of saying that it's a good point, because ultimately when you play for Rangers, you should be going to Firth Park and getting 3 points. And that is no disrespect to Motherwell, because they've been one of the best teams in the league this season. So I just think it's a little bit of the way that he's worded that that's probably got the Rangers fans back up a little bit.
Billy, after last night, do you think Rangers can win the league?
Well, I think they still can win the league.
Do you think they will?
Poor as well. Only team is playing the consistency of Hearts. Of course we're in the running, but the manager, they see that tweaking the team, he's doing my nothing. He's on about players need time, game time. We've got 12 games to go. We need 3 points. We don't need a point here. That 2 points could cost you the league. And he's talking about the next game. You can only deal with what's in front of you. And as for Tavener, I like Tavener, but his legs are went. Last night he had a nightmare of the game. So he did.
Thank you very much.
Really bad last night. I mean,
thank you very much to Billy. Says doing his nothing. Speaking of things that do your nothing, Gordon DL, have you got any more on the teaser? We're looking for the 9 Motherwell players with over 200 appearances for the club since 97. You've got a lot of the big hitters, over 1,000 appearances between Stevie Hamill, Keith Lasley, Stephen Craigan. David Clarkson's in there.
You didn't mention Clarkson.
No, I can't. Cammy did. Thanks for listening, though. Brilliant. Thanks for paying attention.
Listen, I'm great. I add that down.
Any others?
Johnson?
Yes. Okay, we'll get the rest and more calls if you fancy it when we return.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Been a quick show this, the final part already for Cammy Bell and Gordon DL. We've got a good teaser here, thanks to our new sponsor Arcoplan Glasgow, and it's all aimed at Mr. Motherwell. He even went to the game last night. Check out his Instagram, there's a picture of him. in at Fir Park. David Cooper stand behind the goal. He's not looking at the camera for some reason, but he's there. And he left early and he missed Stephen Welsh's goal. Can you name 9 Motherwell players with over 200 appearances for the club since 97? Motherwell have got some list. Stevie Hamill, 563. Keith Lasley, Stephen Craigan, David Clarkson, John Sutton.
I'm going to go for Scott McDonald.
Yes, he's ninth though, so everybody else is above him. There's not much between though, the bottom.
Many have we got?
You've got 3 to get.
Oh, okay. No, I'm struggling.
Okay, we'll leave it there.
I've got 2.
Give me one more guess.
Martin Corrigan.
Yes. The Kaiser, 254. 2 to get. We'll get them before the end. Ryan's in Coatbridge. Hi, Ryan.
How you doing? It's just a quick point. I mean, I've no denying that Hearts, Motherwell, everyone's playing great football. But there's a lot of people talking about how it's going to be great for Scottish football if another club out with Celtic or Rangers win the league. It's just with Leicester winning the league 10 years ago in England, did that make the English Premier League any better? Or, I mean, even look at Leicester City now, who have previously won the league, recently went into financial difficulties and now been docked 6 points, I believe it is. So does it really make it any better? Like, there's other clubs going to win the league?
Does it not depend what you mean, Ryan? It's undeniably a great story. You sound a relatively young man. I'm obviously mid-30s. I've never, ever seen a team outside Glasgow win the league. So from an intrigue perspective, from a freshness perspective, the fact that even though Hearts are well run, they're miles off the budget Celtic Rangers, so it's a good story. I don't think people are saying this is, you know, an amazing reflection on the league or anything like that, but Leicester winning it was an incredible story, and this would be the same. Is that not all it is?
I mean, yeah, I mean, I'm, as you said again, I'm not denying Hearts deserve to be where they are, Motherwell playing great football and stuff, but it's just like reading the tabloids and everything and saying it's going to make it so much better, but it would be potentially forgot about. Not many people have thought about Leicester now winning the league.
Oh, nobody forgot about it. Hold on, it's that word. I don't think anyone's saying it's going to make it better.
No.
But that's still... Yeah.
But here's the difference for me. Ryan talks about Leicester, right? Mm. Down in England, there's 4 or 5 clubs can win the league every year, right?
Yeah.
Up here, Celtic Rangers. It's mostly Celtic lately, right? We agree with that.
So
I think that Hearts winning the league, it's not going to be like a Leicester, right? I think it is refreshing. If they go and win it, I think it'd be brilliant for them. Hearts are a decent enough club, big club, good support, well run now, everything about them. So I know what Ryan's saying, but I don't think you can compare if Hearts win it to Leicester.
There's always layers, Cammy, a bit of nuance. If Hearts win it, with the budget advantages that Celtic and Rangers have, it doesn't reflect well on them, right? But then, you just give Hearts would deserve all the credit.
Yep.
I imagine a lot of the footballing world would then sit and pay up. You know, it would just be a novelty, new, whatever you want to call it. Does it reflect well on our two strongest teams? Probably not. But then, what do we want? Do we want literally from now until the end of time they two just share the titles between them?
No, listen, if Hearts go and win it, they deserve full credit. Derek McInnes's full team, all the staff there deserve full credit if they go on to win it. And again, I think it's refreshing how exciting the end of a season, the build up to that is, how close the teams are, how competitive all the games are as well. I think you've got to take that into context, that all the games this season that we're talking about, we're speaking about going to Fir Park and how difficult it is to get a result there. Hibs, Falkirk, Hearts, Rangers, Celtic, they're all very competitive games. So I think it's refreshing that we've now got a league that teams are finding it difficult going away from home to get 3 points. Certainly the top teams that are used to getting 3 points, we've asked for that for years. Celtic and Rangers fans have kind of grumbled about, oh, we're going to Europe and we find it difficult because the league's not competitive. No, it is competitive. And they might look at it and go, well, our teams have dropped off, the standing of our teams have dropped off.
You need both though, don't you?
100%. But then ultimately it's up to them clubs to lift their standards. If the fans think the teams aren't good enough, it's up to the clubs to lift the standard of the teams. But I think all the teams around about them this season, you look at Falkirk, exceptional team, Hearts, obviously, Hibs, Motherwell, I think they're all really, really good sides and difficult teams to play, no matter how good Celtic and Rangers would be. So I just think the sort of standard of all the other teams around the Old Firm, take the Old Firm teams out of it, I think they've grown this season and got a lot better.
Who does win it, Ryan?
To be honest, I still can't call it. I would love Celtic to win it, but I wouldn't be paying my mortgage on it, put it that way. It's just, I fully agree with what you guys are saying as well. Like, from the outside point of view, I've got a lot of family from England and stuff. And the way they're communicating to me is, they're seeing it as the SPL seems weaker now because Celtic Rangers aren't at the top. And they're, a lot of the messages I'm getting off them saying, your league's so weak now because Celtic Rangers have fallen off and they're not as good. Now, as I said, I fully agree, Hearts, Motherwell. I've watched Motherwell play myself, some of my friends are Motherwell fans, and they are by far playing the best football, and they all deserve to be where they are. But, like, from an outside point of view, some people are, that I'm getting, are saying, well, it makes your league look weaker.
Right, just tell them down south to mind their own business. that's all you do. Just tell them, mind your own business, hang up.
It does depend.
Plymouth Argyle fans.
Oh, exactly.
Don't even speak to them.
It does depend what your lens is. We always do this, is that, you know, there can be multiple competing truths. And, yeah, look, obviously, see if Celtic or Rangers finish third, they have clearly done a lot wrong this season.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from, you know, how deserving the winners would be. So anyway, Ryan, thank you very much. It's a different slant on it, but we appreciate you getting in touch. You too,
cheers,
Ryan.
Cheers,
Ryan. In Cote Bridge. I think we're almost, I wouldn't want to waste anyone's time by asking you to squeeze in another call. But it's Thursday night. You forget that, Gordon Dale. We're already kind of on to the weekend. And I think you both said at the start you expected more twists and turns.
Oh yeah.
Look at this weekend. Something has to give between Hearts and Rangers and Hearts. And all of a sudden, are Kilmarnock a very different proposition for Celtic than they were 3-4 weeks ago?
Yeah, yeah. Neil and Billy's got them fired up, playing well. Recruited good in the January. Yeah, yeah. So you see a big difference in Kilmarnock. I think it'll be difficult. But it's Celtic's turn now to go and put the pressure on Rangers and Hearts. Because if they can get down an early game, get the business done, they can sit back and say to Rangers, Hearts, right, it's up to yous now. Because Hearts have been doing that for the last few games as well. So, look, this is going to the top six. You mentioned the top six, Gordon. Years ago, teams would get in the top six and hardly win another game, right? They're just delighted, achievement, top six. See now, every game in that top six has got to be really, really difficult, no matter who you play. So it's excitement right from now, right up until whoever lifts that trophy for me.
And maybe to sum up the sort of way things are for certain teams, Cammy, we've made it to 2 minutes before the end of the show. We've not mentioned the fact that Falkirk won last night. Their run is absolutely outstanding. They've only lost to Celtic twice since December. And the much praised Motherwell, and you're not going to get me saying they don't deserve the praise, Falkirk are only 5 points behind. The Motherwell have got a game in hand, but John McGlynn's story just keeps getting better.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. You can't speak highly enough of the job that he's done at Falkirk. Listen, they just keep giving. They keep getting results. They keep marching forward. They're striving for more. As you say, 5 points off an outstanding Motherwell. And I know Motherwell have got the game in hand, but 5 points is absolutely nothing, especially when you're going into that sort of period where you're getting towards the top six. You're going to be playing everyone. I think this will be the most exciting top six we've had for such a long time because, as you say, Daz, teams won't just be going, oh, we've got in the top six and putting all the tools away, getting ready for your holidays. Every single team will want to win more games.
Thank you very much to you all for calling. I think that does almost bring the show to an end. You two have to find the answers to the teaser, though. Can you name the 9 Motherwell players with over 200 appearances for the club since 1997? Stevie Hamill, Keith Lasley, Stephen Craigan, Martin Corrigan, David Clarkson, John Sutton, Scott McDonald.
I don't even know why you're doubting a Motherwell fan for
come
all
on
these
then.
Years.
Go on, I'll let you have your moment.
Whoever's texted them, you can.
Well, hold on. Where's my phone?
Hurry up.
It's over there. Come on.
Jamie Murphy,
well done. Currently at Air United. On your former teams as well, of course.
I'll just wait for my moment.
Well, we don't have that long left.
Oh, how long is
if
it?
I'm being honest.
The countdown.
Hurry up. I need it now.
Centre back.
What?
Is it centre back?
Right back last night.
Oh, he was going for something else.
Stephen O'Donnell. Who are you going for?
I was going for Matt Reynolds.
Stephen O'Donnell.
Ah.
Mark Reynolds, 195. Stephen O'Donnell, 212. There we go. Thank you, Gordon Dale and Cammy Bell. But the biggest thanks, as always, they don't mind me saying it, it goes to you for all your calls and your messages, and to the many of you who listen and watch. If you're on that YouTube feed to the live stream every night. Please make sure you're subscribing to the YouTube channel. And we do it all again tomorrow with Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen from 6:00.